Welcome to the Infrastructure Show. I'm your host, Professor Joseph Schoffer of Northwestern University. The Infrastructure Show is designed to present to listeners the reality of America's infrastructure, its condition, why it is the way it is, and what can be done about it. We gratefully acknowledge contributions to sustain the Infrastructure Show from Andrea and Ron DeFeo, Dr. Robert Peskin, and Dr. Raymond Ellis. Wildfires in California have been much in the news over the last couple of years, and 2018 has been a particularly difficult year. There's been extensive damage to homes and terrible loss of lives. What we haven't heard that much about is the effects on public infrastructure, particularly the highway system. We're talking today with Rene Garcia, who's acting office chief for Caltrans Office of Emergency Management and Infrastructure Protection, to learn something more about what's happened to the highway networks. Rene, just what has been the effect of these terrible wildfires on the California road network? So Rene, let's start out with this question. How have wildfires affected the California road network this season?
Well, let me start by giving a little background of what we deal with. And I just want to clarify that we're only talking about the state highway system because that's what Caltrans is responsible for. We're responsible for more than 51,000 lane miles of the state highway system during times of regular operations as well as times of emergency, which means if there's an emergency going on, we still have thousands of miles that we're still responsible for. Our number one priority is the safety of the traveling public and to maintain our roadways and traffic operating systems. Our goals when a fire is taking place are to help public safety officials evacuate the public, to provide access for emergency vehicles, inform the public about closures, and work to reopen the roads as quickly as possible. And you keep in mind that these fires are very fluid and things change constantly. And the main thing we need to remember is, and this is how critical the state highway system is or any roadway, that no one, and I mean no one, gets anywhere without the roads, and that's how critical the roads are. Now, to answer your question about how wildfires affected the California road network, so we'll talk about the recent Camp Fire, which is still happening as we speak, the recovery portion. It impacted the area around Paradise, which State Route 70 and I believe State Route 191 was closed by the fire. At the same time, in Southern California, Highways 101, 23, and the Pacific Coast Highway were all closed due to the Woolsey Fire. So we had two fires going on at the same time. So our goal when the fire is taking place is to help the public officials evacuate, provide access for the emergency vehicles, and inform the public about closures and to reopen them as quickly as possible. Okay. Another fire, the Northern California Mendocino Complex Fire, which happened earlier this year, closed State Routes 20, 29, and 175. All these fires damage the infrastructure, including pavement, drainage systems, signs, guardrail. Anything on the state highway system that's there can be damaged. And it's necessary to repair them before they're safely opened. When a fire strikes, is the road passable?
Can you be more specific about the damage to the roadways, about pavements and bridges in particular? What's the mechanism? Is it the heat? Is it trees falling? What exactly goes on that you have to fix?
Oh, if trees are falling, we have to clear it. If something goes with the bridges, that road's going to be closed. We have to send out a team of inspectors, of structure inspectors. Our drainage inlets, if they're, sometimes they line them with these plastic liners, they melt and then they get plugged up. All these things have to be fixed. The guardrail, if they have wooden posts, they all burn. But it just depends. Every fire is different. Sometimes the pavement is intact. Sometimes the fire's too hot, so it has to be replaced. Every fire has its own little personalities. And after the fire, we have to go through and clear all the debris, make sure all the trees, if there's trees that are burned next to the roadway, but they can fall on the roadway, we have to go through and cut them down to make sure that they don't fall after we open the road. So there's a lot of cleanup or maintenance after the fire just to go sure. The biggest concern is when the fire strikes, is the road passable? And all these things have to be fixed before we can safely open it back up to the public.
So you really have to focus on evacuation first and then response and repair after.
Yes, evacuation. And then at the same time as the evacuation is happening, so is the response. That's one thing, not only California, but state DOTs, our personnel are not considered first responders. But I really feel that they should be. And I'm sure a lot of other people feel the same way because they're right there at the front lines with everybody else.
Do you take any special actions to protect your own people?
Well, we never send them into an unsafe situation. Safety is our number one priority. say, for example, firefighters, they do the fire. We assist them in whatever way they need. And most of our assistance comes with the form of opening and closing roads and providing equipment and personnel wherever they may need it.
Are there things that you learn from a fire that lead you to make modifications in designs or materials or other kinds of protections for your infrastructure?
Yes. For example, we talked about the guardrail. If they're wooden posts and they get burned, we replace them with steel posts. Same thing for the sign. If one of the drainage culverts gets melted inside, we're now going to steel pipe that goes around it and we push it through. That won't melt. We try and clear as much shrubbery as we can, clear trees. When we do our mowing operations, we try not to mow while the humidity is down and we can start our own fire. So we have a lot of things in place that we try and do.
So some of that right away next to the roadway is owned or managed by Caltrans. So you have to manage that to reduce fire hazards as well, I would think.
That's correct. That's why we have certain plans in place, fire prevention guidelines, our veg control plan, our emergency operations plan. We have a lot of documents that are in place with policies and procedures that we do so that we don't start fires as well as guide our fire response efforts. So like one quick example is not mowing in the summertime when the humidity is low and it's hot. We have weather reports that get paged out daily and our employees can plan their daily activities according to those weather reports.
Do you see the risk going up in the last few years? Have you had more fires, more assaults on your own infrastructure?
Well, not every fire directly affects the state highway system. It impacts it in some form because the traffic gets used up or responders. Now, we used to have what we call a fire season, and now the fire season is year-round, so it's getting more and more fires every year. It seems like it's constant.
How does it affect your budgeting?
Well, these are very expensive. I can recall one contract last year to repair and replace. Everything was over $10.5 million, and that's just in one location, so it costs a lot of money to repair and replace damage from these fires.
As you look ahead, are you in a reasonable position to budget for this, or is the uncertainty too great?
You know, I can't really answer that because I'm not the budget guy.
Okay.
But we have what we call emergency contracts. Just on the state right away, we do what we got to do. A lot of this stuff they do all the time, it's just in a more urgent environment. So as far as the budgeting goes, you know, we get reimbursed by federal agencies and stuff afterwards. But I can't really answer when it comes to how the budget stuff works.
Thinking about pavements and bridges, are there changes in the designs or materials that you're starting to implement because of the risk of fire?
There may be. I'm not a design person, but I'm not going to say they designed for fire. The bridges, I think they designed for fire. But during their design, I'm sure they try and get it to the best roadway possible. Because California, we have fire is not our only emergency event. You know, we have pretty much everything here, so.
One of the outcomes of fire sometimes, from what we see in the news reports, is flooding and landslides. So that's in the area of responsibility for your agency as well?
Yes, it is. And we have teams that serve on some debris flow teams to respond to them. We now have charts and things that we get from the weather service. They collect all this data, and we can put on charts where our most vulnerable locations are in the burn scars. So we can pre-position equipment or close roads if it's in a bad area when a big storm's coming through and we're worried about debris flow and the mud flows and all that. So we try to be ahead of the situation.
It sounds like these are situations where you can't really protect the infrastructure, but you can protect people.
That's correct. One of our top priorities is to protect the traveling public.
Do you have any special relationships in terms of the way you coordinate with CAL FIRE or local agencies in response to these disasters?
Well, we always have a person at the State Operations Center, and in the local area, most of the time we have a person at the incident command place, at the incident command location. If CAL FIRE needs us, there's a mission tasking process through the Governor's Office of Emergency Services where they can request our assistance. And our assistance, that process is required anytime we go outside of our state right away. They mission task us for whatever they might need, whether it's cones, barricades, people, equipment, whatever might be the need at the time. They can ask us for help. And if we can fill that, we certainly will. There's some things we can. Say 9 times out of 10, we try and be good partners with all state agency and help them in any way we can.
And given the nature of your office, you're responsible for what's going on throughout the whole state?
That's correct. In our office, in headquarters in Sacramento, we have what we call a Department Operations Center. And we have 12 districts, and every district has an Emergency Operations Center. And we coordinate for resources, and whatever the district needs, the district is the one that's responding to the location because they're the ones that are there and they have the equipment. And at headquarters, we're providing them whatever they need. If they need some equipment from another district, another part of the state, we coordinate that and we send them whatever resources and help that they may need.
Do you mostly use your own forces or do you contract out?
Well, we do as much as we can for emergency contracts. Some things are just too big for our people. So we get these emergency contracts and bring in contractors. For fires like this, it's a big job and it's just too big for Caltrans. So we get contractors to come in and do a lot of that work.
Do you have pre-arrangements with contractors, task orders and things like that, so you can get them on short notice?
Yeah, we have a pre-certified contractor list that these contractors get their name on. It works out great.
Anything coming down the road in terms of technologies and strategies that you think are going to give you a stronger hand against these natural disasters?
We've come up with a few things right now that are doing that stuff for the burn scar, a lot of the LIDAR and all that. And we're open to anything to help us out. If for the earthquakes, we have the ShakeCast where it's an internal Caltrans program that a lot of state DOTs are now adopting to prioritize during an earthquake, which bridges or roads or structures may be damaged. And that really helps a lot. So we do have a few new world type of tools that we can use. And we're always doing research. We'll try whatever so we can do the best we can.
So you can do a better job of anticipating where the damage is likely to be.
Yeah. That ShakeCast, that's what it does after the earthquake. At least with a fire, you kind of know the fire's coming. With an earthquake, you never know. It just happens. But immediately within like a minute or so or 2 minutes, it'll prioritize a list of bridges because of the magnitude and the location can give us a priority of bridges to go inspect right away.
And your strategy is on-scene inspection as opposed to, say, remote sensing?
Well, there's a lot of remote sensors that gather all this data, which allows us to do this on-scene inspection.
All right. Renee, it's really been helpful and educational for us to talk with you this morning. I regret the struggles that you've gone through in California, and we appreciate the good work that you're doing. So thanks for the information and for talking with us today.
My pleasure.
Thank you very much.
You have a good day.
Thanks for listening to The Infrastructure Show. If you enjoyed the conversation as much as we did, please encourage your friends to subscribe to our podcast. The Infrastructure Show is recorded in the Reeves Audio Recording Studios in Evanston, Illinois, under the direction of Jim Reeves, Chief Engineer, with a commitment to great sound. Our producer is Marion Sowers, a journalist with a passion for infrastructure. And I am Professor Joseph Schoeffer. Few people are more curious about infrastructure than I.